for you. I don't think anybody noticed. If nobody, we've been having some technical problems, Rick. You wouldn't believe we've had computers die on us. We've had all sorts happening, but we plod on. We plod on. So how's things with yourself?
Oh, well, not too bad until I tried to get on the computer today because it was the same with me. I couldn't get anywhere on Skype. The calls were coming in and I was trying to answer and it wouldn't answer. And, oh, God, what a day. So we're on live now on the show, are we?
We're on live and it must be a moon phase or something we're going through because everything seems to be going strangely, I'm not going to say wrong. It's all becoming exciting, put it that way. It's put a nice tint to it. Well, I'm going to leave it all to you, Rick. And of course, everyone's been waiting to see. I don't know if you remember Barry. Of course, I'm sure you will.
Yes, I do. Yeah,
he's been in touch with a friend of his, and he's going to try and get in touch with us later on in the show. He's going to try and call in, and his friend's been an activist for many, many years, and he's got a few things he might want to share with you. So hopefully, we'll get Barry pop up pretty soon. But I'm going to leave the floor to you, Rick.
Okay, thanks, brother. Well, lately I've collected a lot of books on medicine from, you know, past times. And one of the books I collected was a book called Legacy. And it's about a woman named Ellen White. Back in the early 1800s, she figured out some very sensible ways, you know, in regards to healing. And she put all of these notions forward, and amazingly, she was quite correct. She was not educated in medicine, but amazingly, she was quite correct in what she was saying. And they started a thing called the Western Health Reform Institute in 1865. And from 1865 till 1875, this institute treated about 2,000 people, about 200 a year. But now you think, 2,000 people over 10 years, the Institute's annual death rate was one person a year. So out of every 200 that came to them, they were only losing one person. And then, the Institute was basically, it was more about, healthy eating, detoxifying your body with water. They had, they did many natural things, but they had, fascinating results. And then John Harvey Kellogg became a doctor in 1875, and he took over the institute, and they renamed it the Sanitarium. Now, Kellogg often remarked in later years that the sanitarium was more of a university of health than it was a hospital. But their batting average when it came to treating diseases was so astronomical, nobody could believe it. But I'm just looking for a little excerpt here. This record was set during the record I was talking about. This record was set during the 10 years before Koch and Pasteur demonstrated in 1876 that the anthrax microbe produced the disease anthrax. This discovery implied that specific microbes will produce specific diseases unless precautions are taken to prevent their spread. The Koch-Pasteur discovery opened the ear of modern scientific microbiology and forced the general skeptical medical profession to concede that the sanitary measures recommended by earlier but less persuasive researchers, measures such as washing your hands thoroughly before examining wounds or before surgery, were necessary to prevent contagion. By 1885, the Battle Creek Sanitarium was the largest institution of its kind in the world. In 1926, it had a service staff of 1,800, and in 1927, accommodations for over 1,500 patients. So, this thing was very popular. But now, here's a list of some of the people that went to the sanitarium. Famous guests and patients of the Battle Creek Sanitarium, or one of its satellite institutions, included industrialists, Henry Ford, James Buick, Harvey Firestone, John D. Rockefeller, Jr., Alfred DuPont, Joseph Patterson, founder of the National Cash Register Company, Joseph Cannon, towel manufacturer, Edgar Welch, grape juice producer, A.E. McKinstry, president of International Harvester, E.H. Little, president of Colgate-Palmolive, and General David Sarnoff, president of Radio Corporation of Canada. And there was all kinds of other scientists, that Nobel Prize winners went there, inventors, famous inventors like Thomas Edison. You know, they all went to the sanitarium, and you know, for their cures. But I found it particularly interesting when I seen Mr. Rockefeller's name there and DuPont. You know, I mean, these are part of the same people that brought us all this allopathic approach. You know, poisons and chemicals are medicine, which is truly insanity. But, you know, these people themselves, they believed in the natural cures because it's just common sense. So I think actually it's a very good book. So if you happen to run across it, it's called Legacy. It's put out by Pacific Press. And I think a lot of people would find it very interesting, you know, because, you know, they did even back then. They had ways figured out that made sense. But instead, we moved into the 1900s, and then all of this medical madness began. You know, what a sad state of affairs. But so that's part of the reason why we're in the situation we're in today. Unfortunately, just recently here in the U.S. One of the activists I've been doing a lot of shows with on Papsite Radio, I guess you could only say that he's gone rogue or something. I've done 14, 15 shows on Papsite, you know, 2-hour shows. And we discuss all these different aspects of this medicine and its uses. And we've done shows on solvents and everything like that. But what started all this. Now, in Europe, you can get benzene, you know, pretty well in any hardware store. It's not hard to get, and all the standards are that they have, you know, basically go from country to country in Europe. So there's not too much trouble finding the right solvent, and it's basically the same here in Canada. I mean, I can get a 45-gallon drum of naphtha just by going to Amherst and picking it up. And that's pure naphtha right from the refineries. But in the U.S., we have this damn problem where the U.S. government has all of their regulations in place. And from what I understand, none of it makes much sense. And what they're doing, apparently, they're taking off like the pure solvents like naphtha, 99% isopropyl. I guess that's getting very hard to come across in the U.S. So, you know, I mean, these people are frustrated. But there's still, you know, the people that are looking for the solvents are going out and they're buying the wrong solvents. They're buying solvents with very high boiling points, you know, up over like 250, 260 degrees. And, you know, what I always tell people, you need the light naphtha. You know, any solvent you're going to use, it should be clear as water. And as I've always told people, when you dip your finger in it, within 30 to 40 seconds, it should evaporate from your finger completely, you know, leaving no residue. But if you're trying a solvent and it leaves a residue or an oily film or anything like that, then by all means, please do not use it. But this gentleman contacted me, and he understood everything because we've done the shows together. But now he's come out and openly stated that, you know, I should be telling people to not use naphtha or benzene, and, you know, that this could poison them and all this nonsense. Well, it's not me that's causing this. It's the American government that's restricting the pure solvents to their own people. So I explained all this to him, and I thought that we had, you know, resolved the situation. But then within 2 days, he's back doing the same thing, making a big noise about it, and saying, you know, that I should be out, you know, telling people not to use naphtha. Well, I mean, I can't do that because I found naphtha to be a very, very effective solvent. And I've cured thousands of people using naphtha, you know, and nobody got poisoned. But, you know, he's taken this thing and he's blown it so far out of proportion. And then when I tried to talk to him, it was like, you know, he said, he even stated to me, he said, you know, this business of oils that you say you can produce that are, you know, 99% pure cannabinoids, you know, that's rubbish. Nobody can produce oil that pure. Well, that's nonsense because we had the test results, you know, that have been done in labs that prove it. You know, I mean, you can't achieve those results if you're making it out of low grade strains or, you know, leaves and things like that. No, you're not going to get, you know, 98, 99% pure cannabinoids. You're going to get something much lower, you know, 50, 60% or maybe even less. And I'm not discrediting you know, even oils made in this manner, because for some people it can heal them in certain situations. But if you have somebody that's dying from cancer, if you have your mother or father, if they were dying from cancer, now what would you want them to have? You know, would you sooner see them take an oil that's 50 or 60%? Or would you sooner see them take something that's 99%? I mean, I think the choice is obvious. But he went off about that, and, you know, and I explained it to him. But he, you know, he just wouldn't listen. As far as he was concerned, you know, 60, 70% was just fine. Well, for many people, it's not just fine. And, you know, and some people that the 99% pure cannabinoid oil would have turned around and saved their lives, if they try to take a 60% oil, it just doesn't cut it. You know, so therefore, people will die that, you know, that shouldn't be dying. Now, I mean, I feel terrible about this situation, but, you know, what can I do? You know, every interview I do, I tell people about, you know, the solvents and what to look for. And also, this man stated that many people were starting to come to him who were getting oils made from other people, and that they would bring the oil in, you know, in the syringes, and the oil would run right out of the syringe. Well, my oil doesn't run. You know, it's a thick grease. And so obviously, I mean, if you have a runny oil, for God's sakes, don't take it, because I don't know what's in it. You know, but if you follow the instructions and have the, you know, have the right solvent and a good starting material, anybody basically can produce the same oil that I was producing that was, you know, showing such great results. But anything, it seems like they'll throw anything into the mix just to mix things up. And, I mean, unfortunately, I can't, you know, like, well, this gentleman actually was becoming part of the Phoenix Tears Foundation, but I basically had to fire him. You know, I can't stand shoulder to shoulder with someone that's coming out with statements like that. And I know this man has gone through a lot of stress, the same as the rest of us have over the last few years, because this is a very stressful business. But, you know, I mean, when we get out and we do shows, well, if you got somebody, you're doing shows with somebody, and one day they're making, you know, rational statements, and then the next day they're talking garbage. I mean, I can't associate with people like that, because it brings discredit to the medicine. And it just sickens me that this is going on. But I would like people to be aware of this. But, I mean, this really does concern the U.S., not so much Europe, because your standards are already in place, and the solvents aren't, as far as I know, they're not hard to get. At least I didn't have any trouble getting them when I was there. So this is a sad situation right now in America. But, you know, I mean, my oils, if they're produced properly, have never harmed or killed anyone. And, but I, you know, I do have a lot of problems with, you know, other people that are using methods, you know, like these full plant extractions. I do not agree with that at all, because, you know, the toxins that the plant, you know, takes up into its leaves and the bud. Well, those toxins, I mean, if you put that into a blender, you're actually eating the mold or whatever's in the plant and whatever toxins it contains. And I mean, you are getting some cannabinoids. But there's no heat, you know, there's no heat in this process. So these cannabinoids are not rotated to the delta 9 position, the active position, the most medicinally active. So I really look at juicing as not the answer. I mean, it might help some people in some ways, but, you know, to me, the medicine should be produced in its purest form, always. And then if you want to take it and cut it back with something like olive oil or whatever, well, that's entirely up to you. But for God's sakes, produce the medicine in its purest form. That's the only way to go.
Yeah, that I hear what you're saying there, Rick. Definitely, and it boils down to that same old story again, doesn't it? If you want something doing right, do it yourself. Now, the chances are, the first oil I ever made before I heard of your system and how it cured cancer and everything, we used to make from the leaves that we chopped off from our crop.
Yes.
And we used to make it from that. And it was great to smoke. Yeah, something different. But it's not the medicine. And it's down to that. Obviously, it's so important to people. That is the way to go forward. It is a case of you've got to get the bud yourself and produce the oil yourself from the knowing you've got quality ingredients and work from there. We've got somebody with a mic unmuted. Chris, we've got a caller in. Chris. Yeah, do you want, have you got something you wanted to say to Rick there?
Yes. I'm getting a little bit of sort of double talk here. I'm getting sort of extra.
Okay.
I'll try and focus.
Hold on, Chris, just hold on. Do us a favor. If you just turn your radio player off, you should be fine.
I've had an amplifier on. I've turned that off.
Yeah, so you should just be able to hear us through the Skype and not the radio as well. And also, if when you're not speaking, if you mute your mic, then the interference won't come through so much.
Right.
Okay. So obviously, if you've got a question for Rick, obviously you need to unmute your mic. You might need to turn your volume down a touch as well.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah, sorry, yeah. Okay, well, let's try turning the volume down. It's a little bit distracting. There we go. I had a slightly sad question. This is regarding the chief editor of our local newspaper here in Bournemouth. There's a chap called Neil Butterworth. He died yesterday in Poole Hospital of cancer. Unfortunately, after printing 25 years of anti-cannabis propaganda on the front of his newspaper, he died quite young. This is at 55 years old. It's hit, obviously, the local newspaper very hard. It's obviously turned a few heads in this town and raised a few eyebrows. I must admit, I did call straight away into the newspaper and ask them a few tactful questions regarding hemp oil and cannabis, which maybe may or may not have been tactful in hindsight. But I felt like I couldn't let that one go by, and had a very long chat with one of the news team there, who was responsive and receptive to what I had to say. And this is regarding the circumstances, but I was also interested in what Rick has to say about news editors and people within the sort of media establishment dying at such a young age from cancer after obviously promoting a lot of anti-cannabis propaganda.
Well, I guess you'd have to say he got his just dessert. they stand about. It's not just standing against cannabis. I mean, it's all the mainstream media. It's all controlled by the big money, and these editors that they choose to run their papers. I mean, they're controlled also.
Yes.
So, you know, the message has always been, you know, discredit cannabis, and it shocks me that so many people are just willing to blindly believe this nonsense. You know, and that's the problem, because we have a world full of skeptics, and skeptics are simply people who are truly ignorant of the truth. If they would simply get on the internet and look at the information that's out there, Harvard University since 2007, that they've been agreeing with what I'm saying. The American Cancer Institute, these aren't some fly by night outfits, that are agreeing with this. So yeah. I mean, it's more than obvious that it's true. But I mean, the sad fact is, our news media has been lying for decades to us, because they're only reporting what the rich want us to know, So we're walking around like a bunch of sheep, with no knowledge of what really is going on, and they're very good at hiding things. But this is the reason I'm so grateful to the internet, because at least in the internet you can get the truth out.
Absolutely,
the mainstream media. They like CNN. They've known about me since 2004. People have been contacting them, saying do an interview, with Rick Simpson. They won't do it. But now, yes. I mean, CNN just recently did an interview with Bob Malamede and Janet Sweeney, who heads up the foundation, or the Phoenix Tears Foundation in Colorado. Yeah. They said that they're going to bring a documentary out in June about all of this, but. I when it comes again to the mainstream media, I wouldn't hold my breath.
Yeah, I was going to say they said I did actually quote a little soundbite from Bob Malamede actually to the news chap that I was chatting to yesterday. I reminded him that there are over 800 peer-reviewed scientific trials published in journals that confirm cannabis cures cancer. And was he aware of that? And he just sort of was obviously very short of a reply. And it was just very sad, really, that he was so taken aback. And there's obviously so much evidence out there to show that this is effective, and these people don't have a single clue about it.
Well, they pretend they don't have a clue about it.
Well,
that's the sad case of this whole damn thing. Well, and as much as I hate to mention this, now, I have a brother. He's 3 years younger than I am. He's college educated. He's a bank manager. His wife was a medical secretary all her life.
Right.
And at present, his mother-in-law is in a hospital getting two transfusions every week because she's dying from blood cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, blood cancer is one of the easiest forms of cancer to cure with the oil. Now, my brother has known about everything I've been doing ever since I started doing this. Both him and his wife have known about this, and they're both standing there, and they're watching her mother die a horrible death for no damn reason.
Mm-hmm.
And the simple fact is, you know, like when I look at my brother and his wife, well, the bottom line is they cannot reject the world that they've been brought up to believe in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to accept the simple truth in what I'm saying, that would shatter their world. So that's part of the reason that so many of these highly paid individuals are doing this. You know, they just don't, they know how this is going to affect their professions, and although it's the truth and it would do humanity so much good, they are simply more concerned about their professions and their paychecks than they are the greater good of mankind.
So
I'll just jump in just dead quick. Sorry, Chris. Sorry to be interrupting.
Can you
do us a favor, fella? While you're not talking, Rick's talking. Can you mute your mic for us? Because every time we get you agreeing all the time. We kept going. It's not so good for the listener. It's cool, bro. You know, is how it works.
I'm doing my best.
Yeah, it just makes it easier and it makes it clearer for the listeners, you know.
Well, I mean, it's like you said, the results we're seeing are just, you know, I mean, it's beyond amazing. And I don't know, after all these years I've been doing this and all these interviews I've done and seeing so many, you know, such vast numbers everywhere helped. But yet nobody in authority, no prime minister or president will stand up and say, you know, let's do this. Let's help the human race. Instead, they just go along with the rich and we keep suffering. And that, you know, that has got to the point now. Well, I mean, it's totally unacceptable as far as I'm concerned, because, you know, it's bad enough that they're killing adults. And, you know, I mean, adults should be smart enough to know the difference. You know, we all should if we got any logic, because we know that, you know, these cancer treatments from chemo, radiation, we know this is insanity. But, you know, I mean, mostly what I'm trying to do is more about educating, you know, the young. At least, you know, they won't grow up. If I can get through to them, they won't grow up brainwashed. This is what I'm trying to do. But with so many things standing against you, it's very hard, because in reality, I mean, when the oil comes out, the whole system is going to come down. The governments, the medical systems, the legal systems, the policing systems, it's all got to change. But if we went about it properly... You know, I don't want to see bloodshed or anarchy. We don't need that. The human race has had enough problems. If we just rose as one and demanded our right to the use of this medicine, and then we went about changing things in a rational way. You know, keep your job at the factory or wherever you're working, and let's convert that industry over into a cannabis-based, earth-friendly industry. And this is what we have to do to detoxify the planet and bring it back, well, to being a decent place to live, you know, for our children and our grandchildren. Because if we continue on at the rate we're going, well, I mean, this planet is becoming so polluted now. And you know, we cannot live in a poison environment. And they're playing with our food sources, with this genetic modification and all this other, well, that's more insanity. You know, I mean, they're doing everything they can to destroy us. You know, in reality, man's worst enemy is himself. And I just look at people and I think, you know, we all have a dark side and we all have a white side or a bright side. You know, there's good and evil in all of us. But today the evil has become so predominant that there's hardly any good people left or people even with a little bit of good in them. You know, it's all, they all want more, you know, because they're all self-centered. You know, and they think the world revolves around them. But that's nonsense. I mean, we're all connected. You know, spiritually we are connected, whether people want to admit that or not. And, you know, the bottom line, if we get together and we want to make positive changes, we can do it. But, you know, all we have to do is go about it in a sensible way. So I'm hoping that people will listen to me in the future, because, like I said, we don't need our anarchy. You know, we can do a smooth transition into a different way of life. We can have a hemp-based economy instead of fossil fuel-based, which would make perfect sense. And, you know, we can provide employment. Well, actually, I think we could just wipe out unemployment completely. We could put everybody back to work, you know, in earth-friendly jobs. So, I mean, if somebody could show me a downside to this plant, I would love to hear it. Because, I mean, I've been researching this magnificent plant for, you know, many years now. And I have never seen anything destructive or dangerous about it in any way, shape, or form. So if somebody has some secret information out there about the evils of cannabis, I wish they would share it with us, because I can't find it.
I definitely, when you hear what you're saying on that, when you look into it, all what you're saying there, the only conclusion a logical mind can come up to is so sinister. You know, they know the information. They've had it in front of them. They've had the trials. They've got the peer-reviewed papers. And it's just mind-bogglingly, it just turns to the sinister. They are purposely keeping this information and keeping it unavailable to us to keep us sick. I don't know. A lot of people are popping up in the chat room saying, oh, Monsanto and Codex Alimentarius and all that sort of thing. But I don't want to believe in that. I don't want to believe that people are actually capable of doing that, and that is their intentions. But it seems that's the way they are doing that. It just seems the only conclusion a logical mind can come to is that they are acting very, very sinister indeed.
Oh, right, it's psychopathic behaviorally. I mean, it can't be anything else. It's just what they are. And, you know, I mean, the people that are running the planet, they're psychopaths, and the governments they appoint, the leaders they appoint, they make sure they're psychopaths too. And then their systems are set up, like when you take doctors. Well, what they're doing, I mean, when a young man or a young woman enters medical school, you know, I think it's quite clear in their heads that poison is not good for you. But by the time they leave medical school, that's what they prescribe. So something's going on, I mean, due to brainwashing and, of course, high salaries. And, you know, and in reality, doctors are in a position to play God. And I think a lot of them enjoy that position. So I am very disturbed. I mean, I'm completely disturbed with the medical system, because I really cannot understand how medical professionals could carry on in this manner. And knowing that they're harming, you know, their patients, and just, you know, like, let medicine become just about money, because that's what they've done. You know, this is not about healing. If it was about healing and doctors were following their Hippocratic Oath, they would be prescribing nothing but harmless, you know, medications like hemp oil. Things that do no harm but heal you. That's what, you know, the Hippocratic Oath is based on. But doctors seem today like they've forgotten all of that. I guess that's not important. You know, and it's something like the same as the American Constitution. I mean, if you read the American Constitution, it makes perfect sense. But these governments over the last few decades, they have shredded the American Constitution. And, it's the people's fault. If the American people had stood up and said, you know, like, well, what do you think you're doing? They could have put a stop to it, but they didn't. And, you give them an inch and then they take a mile, and it just gets worse and worse. And this is what I've seen going on. And it's hard to believe, you know, that people can be so damn cold. And that's the reason I agree with David Icke. You know, there are different bloodlines on this planet. There are these cold reptilian bloodlines that really have no empathy or compassion for anything but themselves. You know, and how can you compare someone like that to someone like us? You know, we have compassion for people, and we do care, and we want to see the right thing done. But for, you know, the idea of business and power and money, you know, these people that are in control, this is the last thing they want. Because to them, it's just about control. And I'm telling you right now, brother, I'm sick of being controlled.
Yeah. That, what can I say to that? Nobody's controlling me. Well, maybe my wife. She does most of the time.
Wives are good at that.
Well, I'm going to do a quick pause here. Rick, to give the numbers out for all the people listening if they want to give us a call. Obviously, they can Skype direct through us. If they Skype to Bob's Backyard, all one word, they'll be able to come through straight through to Skype. of course, the telephone numbers. If you're calling from outside of the UK, you need to do your international code, which is then 44161 298 0298. That's 44161 298 0298. Of course, you can also, if you're inside the UK, forget about the 44, just do 0161 298 0298, and you'll be able to get through to the to us there. And of course, if you want to just keep in touch with us on the chat, you can go to our webpage, which is darkcityradio.com. And of course, you'll see the player come up there if you click through, and you'll see above the player, join us in chat. And that will bring you to a window where it will say web user, and you choose a name, write your own username in there, and click connect. And that will bring you through into the chat room, and you'll be able to ask questions in there if you don't want to call in. And we'll try and get those onto the to Rick as well. Through to Rick. We have had one question that was quite interesting from the IRC chat. It's on, and it was from Rodeo. He's saying there's a country in Africa at the moment that's giving a herbal remedy as a cure for AIDS. And the president is doing this openly, and he's saying he's curing AIDS, and is it the King of Gambia, maybe? I'm not sure. But he's given he was saying, what do you think do you think he would be interested in the fact that maybe he's not, obviously not, doesn't have the knowledge that cannabis cures cancer? Do you think it would be, Rodo's question, should we contact him and let them know? Or maybe the herbal remedy is cannabis.
It very well could be, because it's very effective treatment for AIDS. There's no question about it. But, it's like I said, the cures are in nature. You're not going to find a cure for anything in a damn chemical factory somewhere. You know, this is what, you know, people have to realize. But, yes, it could be, you know, countries in Africa could open the doors for this. If, you know, if they want to do what's right for their people. But it just seems like there's so many governments that don't seem to just give a damn. I mean, I look at what's going on here in Canada. This is where it all started. And, you know, there's no headway here. The government's behaving just as irrationally as they always have been. And to tell you the truth, I can't wait to get out of here. I'm really looking forward to getting back to England. But even when I get back, I've got, I know we have a lot of followers in the UK. And they've been contacting me, wanting me to do speaking tours in the UK and up in Ireland, all over the damn place. But, you know, I've been doing this for over 10 years. And the last 3 years I spent on the road. And so believe me, traveling, I don't find much of a thrill in traveling anymore. But, you know, I've tried to explain to these people that, you know, like I have to expend what energy I have in reaching the most people I possibly can. And the best way for me to do that is actually, you know, over, you know, interviews like this, because in time, you know, hundreds of thousands, even millions, you know, hear these interviews. So I'm reaching vast numbers, and there's some shows, I did one show in the U.S. that had a listening audience of 8 million. So, I mean, that's when you're really getting through to the people. You know, traveling, you know, and meeting different groups and speaking with them, that's nice, but you're only speaking to a limited number. So I'm just trying to expend my energy in the most favorable way possible. But it may happen, I'm not sure. I do have a little bit of downtime coming up this summer, I believe. So I just might show my face in England for a little while. But I'll try to, I probably will try to speak at a few things, but I'll have to keep it down to a low roar, because when you do, I know they told me, they said, if you come, well, we understand the situation, and if you come, we'll try to keep, the public, away from you a bit, and you'll be kept at, in private homes and estates and that type of thing. But it's not that I don't like to meet people, but what happens when you go to anybody, when you meet somebody new that understands anything about this, well, they all have, hundreds of friends. And what happens is, I know, like in Croatia, it was like every night, there was always like 4, 6, 8, 10 people coming that wanted to talk to me. And literally with hemp, it becomes a 24-hour-a-day thing. You never really get away from it. And I could actually use a little bit of downtime just to, you know, kind of regroup my thoughts. You know, I've put on some weight since I came back to Canada. I'm back up to a good weight again, but I'm still mentally tired, you know, from all the travel and whatnot. And so I hope people understand that. But, you know, I'm just trying to reach the greatest number possible. And I think we're doing a pretty good job of it. You know, we've got a lot of attention now. And, you know, and it just makes me feel good to know that, you know, right at this very moment, you know, there's tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands right now that are on this medicine and it's helping them. You know, that was my goal in the first place. Just simply tell the human race in simple terms how to heal themselves. And that's what I did. But it seems that, you know, they still want, like me, to supply the oil. And, I mean, if some government would get out of the way and let me do this on a grand scale, well, I could probably do just that. And it would be very, very cheap. But, you know, as long as I'm, like, my hands are tied the same as everyone else's. You know, if I don't have the freedom and I don't have the cooperation of a government that allow me to do this, I mean, then what's the point? I could go out and plant a field of hemp and then the police come along and rip it up. So, you know, to me it's pointless. You have to have the government on side, and the only way you're going to get that is by the people standing and basically forcing their governments to do it. You know, I know all of these political parties and all that, they all have to be replaced with honest people. You know, we need independent people representing us. But until that day comes, I mean, these governments are going to continue with their rules and restrictions and decriminalization. And, of course, they want the pharmaceutical companies to run their show because that's all part of the big money, too. You know, but, I mean, if we let the pharmaceutical industry get their dirty hands into this, then we deserve what we get. Because, I mean, I know the history of these companies and I know what they've done. And they are the main ones that have really stood against this medicine's use because, you know, it would wipe out their industry. They don't want that to happen. So they're more than happy just to sit there and continue to watch us die, you know, take your pills and go ahead and die. They don't give a damn about us. And the longer they can restrict this, the more profit they can make. So I really think it's up to all of us, you know, to unite in groups and get together. And, you know, if we do this and we stand, like, we have the power. The human race is the most powerful force on this planet. You know, if we stand as one, we will have the better world we're looking for. And we will have better health. And we will have a planet that's being detoxified and is much safer to live on. But until we get off our asses and do something, it's just going to remain the same.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's the thing. Apathy is such a killer at the moment. We've all got the knowledge. The information is there. There's a lot of ignorant people that choose to ignore. But the knowledge is getting out there. Or are we kidding ourselves? Are we just locked inside a network of people that everybody we talk to, because of what we do, are into it as well? So we feel like everybody, a lot of people. For sure, we keep going out and talking to people that have never even conceptualize it. They were just completely brainwashed into what they've been assumed to be correct and truth, what they've read in news media over the last 30-40 years. But about the pharmaceutical companies, what you again, I keep saying this, you've got to remember, they are the chemical companies. They're not pharmaceuticals, they're chemical companies. They're all interlinked with the petrochemical industry that produces floor cleaners and things like that, and they're also producing things from the same sort of ingredients and bases to put into your veins. You know, it's like a ridiculous concept, and it should never have allowed to get that far. I think we've got Barry with us as well, Rick, and I think he's got something he wants to ask you. So go ahead, Barry.
Hey, Rick, how you doing, man?
Just fine, brother.
Good to talk to you again.
Hey,
it's been a good week here. Lots of good things happening and lots of people starting to pay attention. A couple things I'm going to mention right off the bat is I got some people at Deviant Fibers tuned in today. And if they're listening, I'd like to say hello. They're the first time listening to the show. And if they're there, I'd like to say hello. And yesterday I had a gentleman approach me here in town that's got 300 acres of land, about 90 kilometers north of Terrace here. And we were talking about ways to really promote hemp in the community. And he says, Barry, why don't we put on a rock concert? Let's have a concert for hemp. And I said, wow, would that ever be a great idea? In Terrestrial, we have all kinds of local bands, man, and they're all pro, and it wouldn't be hard to put something like together. All kinds of things. One suggestion I'm going to make to people out there is every community has a little online newspaper, and you can go to that community and post ads for free. And something that's simple that everybody can do to really get the word out is to go to these online sites and post information about the sign. And if you do that, you're reaching community people for free. And I've done that here, and I've already had a few phone calls and emails back about it. So it's real simple things like that we can do, man, that really can spread the word. Had all kinds of neat stuff happen this week. It's amazing, you know, what happens with this, Rick, when you get involved, is all of a sudden people that are involved with you, the energies come out, and it's like all of a sudden you're meeting people that are just sharing positive energies about this, and mm-hmm. it really is contagious. You know, it's almost addictive.
Yes.
It is, brother. So, like every time I talk to you, brother, you get me off my ass. You've really inspired me. I've done a lot of talking in the community, and it's really amazing how much positive feedback I am getting from people in the community. So I'm trying to break. I hear I'm breaking up here. Apparently, I'll try and speak into the mic.
You're coming through, Goodberry.
Okay, my head seems to get going all over the place when I get talking here. But hey, one of the other things I like talking to you about, bud, is our analogies of world events and what's happening with the pharmaceutical industries and how this information is being quashed is right on the numbers, man. And we see it. We see who's demonizing cannabis, who the people are behind it, who's controlling the media. I mean, I talk to people, Rick, every day, and they look at me, they go, what? The cannabinoids can kill cancer? And I go, yeah. I mean, there's peer-reviewed studies out there, hundreds of them. They go, what? How come we don't hear that on TV? And I go, well, you got to look who controls the media. And they're the same people that are demonizing pot still in our society and demonizing marijuana. So, you know, our heads are up against the wall. But I'm finding that, you know, more and more people, even people that I talk to now, are going, you know, we've heard something about that. And we're starting to hear information about it. So slowly but surely, it's going to get out. But there's all kinds of things we can do that will really spread the word. And what I mentioned about those community newspapers, that's a real great avenue, man, because you can post this show, you can post info, you can type in stories, and it's all free. And it just takes a few minutes of your time every day.
That sounds good, Barry. That's an excellent idea.
Now, listen, if we have a rock concert, Rick, we are going to have you out. If we get this gentleman I talked to, he is so pro what you're doing. It's like one of the gentlemen that all of a sudden come out of the woodworks when I started talking to people and getting together with people in the community here. And he's dead serious about this. He's got 300 acres of land. It's all cultivated flat land. Could have a great show there. I know groups in the community that would just get involved, and it could all of a sudden snowball into something really good. Another reason I'd like to do that, I'd like to really get the native communities in the north coast of British Columbia and British Columbia in general more informed of what's going on in this movement. And I really feel if they get a feel for what's going on with this, they might just grab the ball and run with it. And this concert we're proposing and thinking about is right in native land. It's in the middle of the Nisga territory, but it's private property in the middle of Nisga territory. So if we put this together, Rick, I'm going to call you out, brother. We'll have to either get you an airplane ticket, but you're going to have to come, bro. That's all I can say.
No, I mean, I have limited funding, Barry, believe
me.
Yeah,
I know. We'll get you a plane ticket together, brother. We will get you a plane ticket together, okay? Guaranteed.
Well, if you can get me there, for something like that, I'd have to show my face. But I mean, what I was going to suggest, if nothing else, I mean, if money's an issue, then we could actually just do a big Skype thing on a big screen.
Well, we could do something like that too, brother, where you get a chance to talk to everybody that's there in mass. It would be a great idea. But we'll see if we get serious about this. Like, I've talked to three or four people about it now, and it seems like, wow, what a great idea. What a great idea. And I even mentioned it to Deviant Fibers there this morning, and they were all kind of like, what a great idea. So you just got to come up with ideas to spread it, and this would just go over like a ton of bricks, especially in light of the fact that we have quite a few bands in the community that are really good. And if it did catch fire, we could even bring in a headliner. I have a few big names that are in the movement that, you know, you could approach, and they probably donate their time to come up and get involved. So it's all kinds of little things you can do and look at, man.
Yep, that sounds good to me. And I mean, there is a lot happening right now. I got word here a few days ago from a friend of mine about this march that they're talking about having in Washington on July 4th, you know, Independence Day. And from what I understand, I mean, due to the gun control and everything, that they've been trying to shove down the American's throat, and it says right in the American Constitution that you have the right to bear arms. But a bunch of these ex-veterans from Vietnam and other wars, they're getting together, and apparently they're going to stage an armed march on the White House.
Yeah, I've been following that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. And police are saying that they're going to stop them. Well, if I was a cop, the last thing I would want to do would be shoot at a soldier. That's not a very smart thing to do because, I mean, these guys, you know, they were in the Army and they've been under fire. And they know how to take an objective. And since in the last election they squeezed Ron Paul out, but the American military was going to back Ron Paul. So that tells you right there they're not too happy with Obama. So if anything happens to those veterans, I don't think the American military would look too kindly on it. And if something like that takes place, it might be just the end of Mr. Obama.
Well, Obama's reign, I really feel, is coming to an end right now with everything that's coming at me. We could get into conversation about this for hours, Rick, because I follow world events every day, and I'm very, very on top of what's going on in the States. And to say they're at a pinnacle time right now in their history would be an understatement. You know that, and I know that. I don't want to drift too far off the subject today, but everything you're telling your viewers out there, I agree with your analogy totally, and that's based on, I spend at least 2 or 3 hours a day viewing and listening to on-site, underground alternate media sites, lots of them, and I listen to Clyde Lewis every day, and I jumble all around my brain, buddy, and everything you're telling people is right on the nose. We're in a very, very pinnacle time in history right now.
Oh, thanks, brother. And I'm excited, too. I was just talking to Janet Sweeney the other day at the foundation the Phoenix Tears Foundation in Colorado. And, of course, the way they got the laws there now, she's got 40 acres of ground down there that her and her husband bought. And they're planning, they're going to plant the whole thing in cannabis. And
cool.
I mean, Janet's cool. Done some great work. And, we talked about it the other day on the phone. And she said, what do you think we could do? And I said, well, Janet, if you do this on a huge scale, truly you can produce this medicine very, very, very cheaply. But, we're only dealing with 40 acres. I told her, I said, to make it grow, the best thing I think, if I was running it, I would think $1,000 a treatment for a full cancer treatment. And make the public aware of the fact that if you could do it on a bigger scale, you could make it even much more cheaply. If she does that, then they should be able to generate enough money to keep expanding, and getting bigger and bigger, and then they can lower the prices as they go. So I'm quite hopeful about what's taking place in the U.S. right now, and I really do believe in a very short time every state's going to be legal.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you because I have approached a very, very powerful station in the States, and I've sent them emails. I've been responding to them. And talking to him, and I actually got to talk to the big guy 2 days ago, just because I really feel that it's important that he becomes totally aware of what's going on in the movement. Now, this radio station reaches 3-4 million people, syndicated in the United States of America. I've had conversations on his show two or three times now where I've talked to him. And if I can put this together for you, buddy. He's looking at it like now as totally factual information. I told him about the reports done by the National Cancer Institute. I told him about the peer review studies because I found the sites where you can go look at them. I told him to go look at Phoenix Tears, your site. I told him to go look at a few other views. And this gentleman took some time to do this, and now I've got his interest. So let's see where that one goes, man. It's just a matter of putting your heart out there and telling people about this. It's amazing the people I talk to that don't know anything about it. It's just amazing. But we're opening their eyes, buddy.
Yeah, slowly but sure. I mean, I'm still, now and then I still get, a negative email or something. Just the other day, I got a voicemail from some clown down in the U.S. He didn't give his name or nothing. He just said, I went to your Facebook and your website, and I find this to be highly suspicious. So I'm going to contact the FDA and have them look into it. He's going to contact the criminals to have them look into my site. What a joke. I mean, I had to laugh at this fool.
Yeah. The blind leading the blind, man. It's just unbelievable. It's a joke. It is.
Of course it is. And there is an outfit out there that actually does scrutinize websites and Facebooks. And a matter of fact, they just sent a report back to us that they've gone over my Facebook, and they found it to be one of the most truthful Facebooks out there. And they found the information to be very accurate. So
it's just another example, Rick, of how far it's gone. I was just reading a clip there yesterday about Arizona troopers getting an actual memo from the federal government stating that they are now calling Christians terrorists, and we are going to go after Christian groups and seize their guns. And this is an actual document from the government. And the Arizona State Troopers' response was, "You've got to be kidding. Is this a joke? Is this a joke?" If people go look at some of the information coming out of the government websites, it will absolutely astonish you and it'll really verify some of the things that you and me getting talking about on the radio about what we see happening in this planet and who's controlling the money, who's controlling the pharmaceutical industries, what they're doing, killing us. Man, I've looked into Codex and I've done a couple hour study on that. I've looked at Monsanto and everything we're seeing, chemtrails. Everywhere we look, we are being attacked. And I mean, geez, it's unbelievable. It's like right in front of our faces. Why the hell? Who gives them the right to fool with our food? Who gives them the right to do this in our atmosphere? They're playing with shit that they've not done studies on. Everything you look at, they've never done studies on. Pharmaceuticals, spraying the atmosphere, Kodak, Monsanto, right. Genetic. I mean, nothing study, but here we are doing it. Well, what's the driving force behind all these negatives that we're seeing in our communities? Unbelievable. And our governments, man. So, you know, that just brings you back to what's going on, man. And it makes a lot of why questions and it opens up a whole pile of Pandora's boxes.
Oh, everywhere. That's right. Yeah. But you know, just, I mean, you look back, look at nuclear energy, for God's sakes, and the way they shoved that down our throats. You know, nuclear energy is the answer to our, you know, all of these fossil fuels. You know, we don't need fossil fuels for energy. We can use nuclear energy and we have the answer. Well, some answer that was. You know, what the hell are you going to do with all those the spent rods? What are you going to do with all of this radioactive material remain that way for hundreds of thousands, if not millions of years? You know what I mean? What are you going to do with this stuff, and where are we going to store it?
Well, I know what to do with it. I know what to do with it. They put it on the end of weapons and shoot it at their enemies.
Well, that's definitely what they've been doing, Lee. You're absolutely right. And again, that's another, according to the UN... That is a crime against humanity. But their own damn countries, the countries that are affiliated with the UN, that's what they're doing. They should be really proud of themselves. I mean, so fraudulent in every way, shape, and form. I mean, when you look at the UN and all the rest, and they're nothing but a pack of frauds. And, you know, I mean, the public should realize this by now, for God's sakes. But, you know, they just keep sitting in their on their sofas at home and watching that damn boob tube. And they don't call it the boob tube for no reason, because, I mean, there's no tool on this planet that is better than that brainwashing you than a damn television set. You know, I'm all in favor of good documentaries, things like that, things that make sense. But when you watch television for a year, your mind just turns to gobbledygook. You know, like, it's such a sad thing.
Yeah, on the bright side of nuclear energy, buddy, we also have in the United States of America, I was doing a study on it. On the three major fault lines in the United States of America, that being the San Andreas, the San Madre, and the Pacific Coastal Plates, there is right now 42 nuclear power plants online, actively working within 17 to 20 miles of the fault lines. And some of them are up to 40 years old with antiquated watering systems. A major earthquake on any of them, you think Fukushima was bad? You get a major on the San Madre or the... Oh, boy, I tell you. I don't even want to get into it. Yeah, I don't want to get into it. The legacy we're creating with nuclear power is going to haunt us for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Period.
You're absolutely correct. Yeah, I mean, I know just today, well, just before I did the show, I was talking to an ex-police officer. I treated his daughter quite a few years ago very successfully, and he's retired now. But he came down, and we talked today for almost 2 hours. And, you know, you could see the frustration right in his face. You know, he said, Rick, he said, you know, I was a cop for 38 years. And he said, I can't explain what the hell they're doing anymore. He said, you know, like, I tried to talk to other officers about this, but, they don't want to hear that. You know, they just want to make their paychecks and continue on with their raids. But you can see the frustration right in his face, you know. And now he's got medical conditions that he needs oil for. You know, it's just madness.
I'm a great fear right now, Rick. I really am, for the escalation events I see in America right now. And like this armed demonstration that's going to happen in Washington, I think it's going to come down to this eventually anyways. It's going to be whether the police will shoot on the citizens or whether they're going to back the government. And I don't want to see that day coming, but I can see it coming very quickly in the United States of America.
Oh, I know what you're saying, but I'm telling you right now. I mean, if the police open up on those veterans, that is the stupidest thing they could possibly do. I mean, the veterans are right; they just want their freedom back. I mean, these men fought in Vietnam and places like that. They came back to their wonderful United States of America, and they've watched since that time. They've watched it disintegrate right before their very eyes. You know, jobs left. There's no future. You know, it's just so pathetic, and not much wonder that they want to do something about it, and I don't blame them.
Well, they should have hung the government years ago, but we know that. But how do I say this? Okay, go ahead, Rick. I lost my thought there for a second.
you're quite right.
Going for my brain here, man, about what you just said.
Not the only government we should have hung. We should have hung the Canadian government too, because I mean, when I was a child, that's what my father. I mean, he got badly wounded in Normandy. You know, from a German hand grenade, and it really screwed up the rest of his life. But when Dad, when I was a young child, I remember Dad saying, he said we should have. The minute we got off that boat in Halifax, he said we should have went to Ottawa and we should have cleaned that mess up. My father was awake enough to realize what was going on, and I'm sure there was many others that were too. But you couldn't get the people together to actually do anything. So we put up with all of this nonsense, the Pearsons, the Diefenbakers, the Trudeaus, and all the rest of it, Mulroneys. Look what they've done to us, and look what they've done to our country. And well, now exactly. this latest guy, Harper, I mean, he's the icing on the cake.
But then, it's all by design, Rick. You know that, and I know. The divisions put into our societies is by design. And it's all designed for this particular time where I feel the escalation of their events is coming to a peak. And that's why this march in Washington's really got my attention, because they want a civil war. I really feel that's in their agenda. So you got to ask yourself, is this the point where they want to bring it on? And that's kind of a scary thought, but those are some of the things I've really been looking at and like to bring to the viewers' attention.
Well, they're not going to want a civil war if the American military turns on the government, and I think that's
exactly
what's going
to take place. It's going to come down to that, Rick. It is going to come down to that at one point, because the government is right out of control. Everything I see going on in Washington is right out of control, and it's right in your face, man.
Isn't Harper now? He's saying he's the right to go in and take people's money out of their bank accounts, I guess.
Unbelievable, buddy. Unbelievable. It's like, what is going to come down next? It's going to shock us. And this is just escalating. You look at everything that's going on in the last year, the tremendous escalation in events. And it's not by coincidence. It's by design. And I don't want to get deep into that. But, one day, me and you should just do a talk on this instead of get away from the herb that we're supposed to be talking about and have a talk about this. Because you should get my brain going on, buddy, I'll tell you. But let's get back to Herb, okay?
Okay, I agree.
Let's get back to Herb, because we're getting sidetracked here again.
Well, yeah, that's my favorite topic. I mean, I'm so in awe of this plant. I cannot even put words to it. I mean, I never thought for a second that there was any plant. I knew there was healing plants, of course. We all know that. But I never thought there was any one plant that could do all of these, the medical miracles. And it's like I said, just discovering what this oil is capable of, it's given me a purpose. The first 50 years of my life, I think, were just a waste of time. But since I discovered what this oil does, it's given me a purpose in life. And I just really feel, I don't know how it got dumped in my lap, but I feel very honored, that I've been kind of selected. I don't know who did it, but I guess I was selected to play this role. And I'll spend the rest of my life in awe of the cannabis plant. And I know we're just scratching the surface here, because I know in a short time, man, this medicine is going to be, produced in such pure in manners that are going to make the medicine so pure and so potent. And the healing that it's going to do is just going to be outrageous, wonderful. And yes, you're right, brother. And I'm looking forward
to the end
to
of the pharmaceutical industry, buddy.
Well, I mean,
what a blessed day on the earth that would be.
Oh, yeah, you're right. And I mean, I don't give a damn about people. If you want to walk around and smoke a joint, who cares? It's preventative medicine. You're not hurting yourself and you're not hurting anyone else. The joints are the least important, of the issue. Of course, the essential oil is what really does the real magic medicinally. But still, there's no rational way that they can stand there and tell us that we shouldn't have this plant. They can't give us one sensible reason. So it is all, it's just like I said, it's all based in corruption. I think that's more than evident now. And when I do shows like this, if I was wrong in any way, shape, or form, then why aren't these medical professionals coming on air to crucify, you know, they should be coming on the air to crucify me, shouldn't they? They won't do it because they know I'm right. And they know they can't take me on. You know, and that's sad when you think about, you know, here's this guy with a great education from Nova Scotia, but yet these guys with PhDs and have been in medicine for decades, they're scared to death of me because I'm going to change their little world. But, you know, it's like I said, it's today now, I mean, with all the people like yourself and everyone else on the show and, well, there's people everywhere now, you know, so I'm not alone anymore. And now, you know, we got tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people now screaming this. You know, it's time for the change. So I'm still praying that it's going to happen this year. You know, we need this so desperately.
I think we're going to see a change. I think we're going to see a change. I'll step out for a minute, okay, guys? But maybe later I can talk to you again, Rick. But I'll let somebody else talk for a few minutes because I tend to tie up too much of your time there. But I'll step out for a minute.
Oh, no, it was a great conversation, brother.
Yeah, he's definitely a trooper, isn't he, Barry? Every time I speak to him, I'm always like enlightened with new information and energy that he brings to it. And if 50% of the people listening to this show or the podcast when you listen to it, if 50% of those people just go out and just take one leaf out of Barry's book and go out. You're sat there smoking your spliff. You're happily listening to us on the radio talking about cannabis. What are you doing? Take a leaf out of Barry's book, man. Go and speak to the guy at the textile company. Go and speak to the guy in the radio station. Ring him up. Do your little bit. And get the people that don't know about it talking about it. Because that's
I'm still amazed at the number of people that contact me, like pot smokers. You know, well, if marijuana actually cured cancer, how come I got cancer? You know, well, I know, like, even smoking, it does prevent, you know, like lung cancer. It can prevent, you know, throat cancer, brain cancer, neck cancer, that type of thing. Because the incidence of cancer in people that smoke or these type of cancers in people that smoke cannabis is much lower than the general public. But, I mean, if you get a stomach cancer or bowel cancer or whatever, I mean, smoking is not going to solve the problem. And it amazes me that, you know, people that have been smoking cannabis for decades, they can't seem to get it through their heads. You know, they think the smoking pot should cure them, and that's not the case at all. You know, if you want the cure, you've got to make the essential oil, and that's common sense all through history. We made essential oils from medicinal plants to heal ourselves, and we didn't smoke them. So I hope people that use cannabis can finally get it through their heads that there's a big difference between smoking pot and ingesting oil. And believe me, your body will soon let you know it. But
yeah, unless they can smoke or inhale around 60 joints in a dose, then I don't think they're going to achieve the same amount of concentrate in the system, are they, really? Right, no. Can I just give the numbers out again? Well, I'm going to get really quickly the numbers out. Just in case we've got any more callers want to call in. Obviously, if you want to get in touch with us, you can Skype us directly through Skype, and that's by searching the user Bob's Backyard and giving them a call, and that'll get you straight through to us. Or you can call us on the landline. Now, if you're outside of the UK, you do your international code, then 44 for the UK, then 161-298-0298. And, of course, if you are inside the UK and you want to use your landline, it's 016-298-0298. And, of course, you can join us in the chat as well if you go onto darkcityradio.com and then click through and you'll end up on the player page and you can click through onto the chat. There you'll see the yellow banner above. Choose your username in that next window and in you go. And you'll be able to join us on the IRC. And you might be able to pass your questions across to Rick through there. Right, Rachel. We've had Rachel sat in the room all week, our little angel Rachel. She's been taking the treatment. And obviously she's been keeping us up to date on how she's been feeling. She's had troughs and highs where she's been detoxing and things like that. Are you there, Rachel?
Yep, Lee, I'm here.
Just want to know if you want to let the listeners know how you've been getting on, keeping them up to date as well with your adventures in cannabis oil.
I've only actually got about another week of the first 60-gram course to go, but I'm actually decided to extend it, I think, because I've got so much radiation damage that I need a longer course, which is what Rick did say in one of the earlier programs.
Yeah, it takes some time to undo all of that radiation damage. You know, if you've had extensive radiation or chemo, you need 120 to 180 grams as fast as you can take it. You know, but you're probably looking at taking the oil for anywhere from 4 to 5, maybe 6 months to get that much in you. But it's the only thing that you can that can undo all of that damage. How have you been feeling otherwise? Have you seen improvements? You should have by now, I would think.
Like Lee said, I've sort of had a few ups and downs. I'm fighting with a lot of pain. I mean, the oil does help with the pain, but again, it's nerve damage from the radiation. The pleurisy is actually slowly clearing. My breathing's getting a lot better. And the one thing that I've really noticed over the last few days is that after radiation, I was left with really bad burns, scars, and they've actually started to go, which brilliant.
Good. I mean, I've seen that in hundreds of patients. The radiation burns, they just slowly disappear. And in a short time, I think you won't even be able to tell that you had radiation in a short time from now.
That would be brilliant news.
Well, I'm glad to hear that it's working. But I mean, it's just, if cannabis was simply one plant, it would be so much easier. But, we got all these thousands of varieties of cannabis, it truly mixes people up, and even some of the names of the strains that they sell. I mean, there's a strain out there called chemo, for God's sakes. And, believe me, it's a long ways from chemo. But, they have all these outrageous names, and that mixes the public up too. But, I always say, if you're going to grow this, then go to the seed companies, read the information they have about the strain, the medical information. Because quite a few of these companies actually do provide quite a bit of information. And that can, you would have more confidence in buying seeds that you know are going to be more effective for your particular condition. So this is what I encourage. But sooner or later, I mean, in the near future, I think we'll be able to get, to dispel all of this nonsense and, get these, these medicinal strains stabilized. And then we're going to see healing that, such has never been seen on this planet in the past. I mean, this is going to be a completely new day for mankind in every way, shape, and form. It's going to make us healthy. It's going to change our way of thinking. I think it will make us a lot more logical, a lot more questioning, which is what we should be anyway. And this will literally change the world. And at no time in our history do we ever need it more. Because, we're in a terrible mess right now, and these really are, they could be end times. If we don't get up and do something about it, these are the end of days. Because, they're going to make this planet so toxic that we're not going to be able to survive on it. And all other animal life is going to suffer too. So it's our watch and it's our duty to stand up, for the future. I would like to see mankind, go on and become something a whole lot better than what it has been in the past. Because, we've done nothing but screw up and, we love to sit and say there, we learn by our mistakes, but yet we keep repeating the same mistakes over and over again. So I think it's just about time that we did start learning by our mistakes and rectify them so they don't happen again. And that's a very easy thing to do. It's just, put this, the research and everything like that, put it in the hands of people you can trust, people that will actually tell the population of this planet the truth. To live in this world, to be one of 7 billion people and know that there's such a small minority there, we're only talking basically probably about 300, individuals and families that are really controlling this planet. So we're all dancing to their tune. Now, I wouldn't have a problem. I mean, if these individuals and families were actually doing something good, for us in this planet, I wouldn't have a problem. But it's more than obvious they're out to destroy us. So I think we gotta take the reins of power away from them and replace it with a system that actually does make sense. And if we choose to do that, we can do it in no time. I mean, I was hoping this year that there'd be many countries growing hemp on a grand scale. You know, I thought this was going to break last year and the year before. But here we are. We're still sitting here. There's no big, vast fields planted, you know, and it's planting season. And, you know, I find this very, very frustrating. But still, we are, you know, we're gaining so much headway and people are paying attention to us finally. As for those ones out there that prefer to be brain dead, well, what can I say? If you like to be brain dead, fine. When your turn comes to get cancer, well, go enjoy your chemo. That's your business. But nobody has the right to tell me or anyone else what they must use to treat themselves. If you have a natural, harmless, healing substance that you want to put your faith in to heal your cancer or any other serious condition, it's your body, and it should be your right to choose. You know, instead of being forced, you know, and this is really what they do, and this is what the doctors do. You know, if you don't take our chemo and you don't take our radiation, you're not going to last long. Well, it's a, like I said earlier in the show, the simple truth is the ones that live the longest, and that's a proven fact, the people who have cancer that live the longest are the people who took nothing at all. They took no radiation, no chemo, and they outlasted the people that did. So that should tell you right there. Now, that whole thing would change a great deal if you were using the oil because, you know, I had we just had a report from he didn't give the name, but he did say he said he was one of the top oncologists in the United States. And he said he took 27 terminal cancer patients. Some were just given weeks to live. Some were given a few months. He took 27 patients and he used the oil and he cured 26 out of the 27. That's a pretty good batting average, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. That's the thing. They're just ignoring this evidence. They won't take it on board. They're actively ignoring it, which makes them ignorant by default. You know, there's no denying it. I just want to nip back onto what you were saying before, of course. And if something rang with me, I don't know if you've ever seen it. There's a documentary film about cannabis called If We Grow, What This Is What We Can Achieve, or This Is What We Can Do If We Can Grow, or something like that. And it covers basically everything from the medicine side all the way through to the material. And you were saying about all the strains. If we were allowed legally in our homes, just like with flowers or the gardening side of things, to just model these seeds down to what is the correct perfect doses for the different ailments, what we could achieve, because we've achieved so well now underground in small knit communities of people deciding to go forward and generate seeds maybe good for a good stone, but you get to get you high. But in the last decade or so, there's definitely been a huge movement in underground seed producers that are only pointing towards the cancer cure and the medical side of treatment. And it just baffles me. Imagine what we could actually achieve if we was allowed to just openly do this and share it publicly and open source seed genetics, you know. It would just be amazing. Rachel's got another question as well.
Yes, go ahead, Rachel.
Rachel?
It was just a comment. It was in the chat room. in the morning after 10. I'm actually taking a gram a day now, which is a lot, but if you build up your tolerance, it doesn't affect you as much as you think it could. Like you said from the beginning, you start off with half a grain of rice, and as your tolerance builds up, you double it, until you build up to the full gram additional dose. It's more than this, but on the whole, it's not too bad.
Had a strange question come in from Robo Hippie in the chat. He asks if you've actually thought about trademarking your name, Rick Simpson, or copywriting it at least to stop people using it on their fake oils. And at least that might, if they do, fund your thing by the lawsuits that it will arise from it.
Well, I'd have to launch a great number of lawsuits if that's the case. Janet Sweeney at the Phoenix Tears Foundation, she was supposed to register the Phoenix Tears name and my name too. As far as I know, I think they're both registered, but that's never stopped people. They all claim, you know, they're making the RSO, so they're all still using my name, and I mean, it creates a horrible situation and it mixes people up because, you know, like a lot of these people that are dealers or growers, they will lie to the public, and they'll tell them, you know, they're directly affiliated with me and that I'm in touch with them all the time and all of this nonsense, just to put confidence in the grower, in the buyers, you know, well, to put confidence in their products in their buyer's mind. And I mean the amount of complaints I get about other people's oils are staggering, and it horrifies me, you know, that my name is being used this way. But, I mean, I've made it openly known that I'm not affiliated with anyone. So, I mean, anybody that tells you that they're directly affiliated with me, they're lying to you. That's the bottom line.
That's definitely true. Let's just make this loud and clear for any people that want to know how to get hold of some Rick Simpson oil. It's very simple. You go and you buy some high-quality bud. Ideally, you want it from the indica strain. And then you take it home, you go onto the internet and you go onto YouTube and you search Rick Simpson and how his method, or you go onto phoenixtears.ca and you watch the videos on there on how to produce it. And your finished product will be Rick Simpson oil. You can't buy it anywhere. If you buy it from somewhere, it's not Rick Simpson oil. Simple.
Well, it should be, shouldn't it? No, it should be simple to anyone, you know, that knows anything about this. But I don't know. They, you know, they'll go to the website, they go over the information, but it's just like they don't take it in. You know, and then they run out and they buy an oil from somebody that runs right out of the tubes, and then people think it's my fault. Well, it's not my fault that the supplier went out and made the oil with the wrong solvent. And I mean, how can I have any control over that? I mean, I told people what they need, the solvents that are, you know, that I found to be effective, and they were. I've never poisoned or killed anyone with these. I was very happy the last show we did, because I've never had any direct experience with acetone myself. I've never used it, but I always strongly suspected that it would work pretty well. And then the last show we did, two people that called in said they had used acetone, the 99% pure acetone. And I want to stress that. Make sure it's 99% pure, not some mix of garbage. You want the good stuff. And they both reported that they had excellent results and it worked very well as a solvent. So they're, you know, most hardware stores actually sell acetone, so it's not a hard substance to get. But, you know, it's frustrated me a great deal with what's been happening in the U.S. and the way this man kind of went off, and, well, he didn't kind of go off. He went off in the wrong tangent, you know, and it brings discredit, you know, to the whole damn thing that we're trying to do. And I mean, this guy has done a lot of good for quite a few people in the U.S., but, you know, if you're going to start filling the public's head full of misinformation, and that's what he's doing, you know, because my oils actually do test up right in close to 100% pure cannabinoids. And to me, and like I said, anything less just doesn't cut it. You need the best. You know, we're talking about saving, you know, human lives here. And if you don't do what's right, then you're going to lose patients that you shouldn't have lost. And, you know, and to get up and openly, you know, come out and say that, you know, naphtha is poison. I mean, the oils that were tested, they never found any solvent residue. There was no poison left because it was made properly. But if you go out and you get the wrong solvent that has a very high boiling point, and there's all this residue, and, you know, like from these different solvents, then not much. Yes, I wouldn't take that oil myself. I mean, that could kill you. But it's not really the fault of the oil. It's the fault of the solvent and the person that used the wrong solvent in the beginning. I'm hoping that this thing in the U.S. will rectify itself in the near future. But we didn't really need this, you know, at this time. But I think that people will understand what I'm saying. And it's like I said, I've got no reason to lie to anybody about anything. You know, this, I have seen this oil, and I have treated thousands of patients, and I have seen the results. And The only, I mean, I wish I could have put it all on film. If I could have put everything on film, I mean, of course, it would have, that would be a very long film. But to see these patients and the differences it made, you know, this wonderful medication made in their lives, it was just overwhelming, you know, to see it. You know, people that were suffering for years, all of a sudden they're back in good health again. They're feeling good. They feel like living again. And we should all have that right. You know, why should we, you know, stay at home and suffer with conditions that are curable? Well, just because our doctor wants it that way. You know, it's like I said, it's time to bring this madness to an end. And I really don't know in the future, you know, when the public actually gets their head around what's been really happening here, who's going to trust a doctor? You know, I mean, that's the simple truth of it. I mean, they've discredited their profession, you know, by their behavior. When something like this was presented to them, they didn't all unite and get together and say, yes, let's help our patients, which is what they should have done. Instead, they sit there and, well, some of them will say, well, you know, well, it's okay. I write out prescriptions for cannabis. Well, good for you. But why don't you get together with other physicians that write out prescriptions for cannabis and go to your other doctor buddies and, you know, and make them see the light of day? You know, this is the idea. You know, just writing somebody a prescription so they can have medicinal cannabis, that's not good enough. You know, your responsibility is to, you know, when you're a doctor, your responsibility is to the better health of everyone. And if these doctors would start making the right noises, then there'd be no, you know, then things would change. But there's so many of them that just don't want to. And I know down in Colorado, there's a little four-year-old girl down there that needs treatment desperately. And Janet, I mean, she's with the foundation down there, and she knows many doctors that are saying, you know, like, oh, you know, we're happy to work with you. But she cannot get any doctor to sign off for this child so this child can receive the oil. Now, I mean, how pathetic is that? So it tells me that the medical system really hasn't moved that far in the right direction, you know, up to the present time. But in the near future, they're going to have to move in the right direction, whether they like it or not. Because, I mean, the simple truth is if somebody like me can cure you of a life-threatening illness and they can't, then what business do they have calling themselves doctors? They're not healing anyone. And, you know, and if we actually brought this medicine out properly, the size of our hospitals would shrink. We would have less doctors, less nurses, less expense for governments. You know, look at the money they put out every year. Like here in Canada, they dump vast amounts of money. And, you know, well, the money goes in, it goes right back to the pharmaceutical companies. So, and they, you know, and it's obvious they're not helping anyone. So, I mean, we have to get back to reality. And the reality is, if you want good medicine, the first place you should look is the cannabis hemp plant.
Definitely, yeah. I don't know if you know this, Rick. Well, I'm not going to call them a political party because there's a lot of things around, but you've heard of Peter Reynolds, I'm sure.
Yes.
And the Clear Party. He's obviously petitioned the British Parliament or that side of things. And he estimated just the recreational use really would bring in a tax, say a deficit sort of thing that they'd be able to change of £6 billion. That's just the UK. And then you're not really looking into the industry side of things. There wasn't looking into the medical side of things. What you added there, the lack of necessity for so many medical, not the less nurses, but there'll be more nurses per patient and more doctors, and you get treated quicker just for the simple fact is the demand would be so much less for doctors. It would just change, as you say, it would just change the planet. It would change the way things operated in such a paradigm shift way that it's just so far, they just can't see it. Exactly the same as the Incas didn't see the Spanish arriving. They didn't see the boats. They couldn't see them. They could see the wake from the boats, but they couldn't see the ships.
Yes,
they just can't see it.
That's strange, isn't it? But it almost seems the same with this. It's like the cure's sitting right in front of them. All these people sitting around smoking pot for decades, you know, they're actually smoking the cure, but they just don't see it. And that part has really bothered me because, you know, I always looked at the human race and I thought, I give them too much credit, I guess, for being, you know, more intelligent than they really are. You know, I mean, I know that many people are brainwashed. It's not that they're not smart and they can't learn things, but once they get this brainwashing, you know, over decades and decades, it just seems to settle into their minds and they cannot accept, you know, anything other than what they've been told. And that's really a sad statement, you know, for mankind, because, you know, when you're, if your mind is so clogged full of bullshit that you can't accept a simple reality like this, then how damn smart are you? You know, it don't seem to me that you've got anything between your ears except air if you can't see the truth in what, you know, what we're bringing. But it goes on, and, you know, and my frustration levels continue to rise as usual. But and the frustration levels of everyone, you know, because, you know, I've dealt with so many people that were supplying oil, and, you know, and they try to treat their patients properly, and a lot of the time the patient won't listen, you know, won't follow the instructions. And even in ones that don't follow the instructions, many times the oil works its magic. But, you know, they have to look at this. No matter if the guy is sitting in front of you, he doesn't need a white coat. As long as he's making this high-quality medicine and he's providing it, he's better than any doctor you're going to find, because he does have the answer. And, you know, like, we're so brainwashed to look at that white coat and the stethoscope, and this is the guy that knows about medicine. Well, you know, if these guys know about medicine and they're not giving people hemp oil, how much do they really know? And on top of that, for what reason are they behaving the way they're behaving? And I say it goes back to greed and money, position, you know, playing God. This is the only reasons I can see. You know, they want the public to respect, you know, the medical profession, but how the hell are we supposed to respect them when they're behaving in this manner? You know, so it's like I said, it's going to take a very long time for the public to ever put faith in doctors again. But that was their own doing. It wasn't anybody else's fault except the medical professionals themselves, because they should have acted years ago to do something about this, the same as they should have reacted years ago to other cures, you know, like Rife technology, right? You know, this frequency machine, Hoxie with his plant extracts. There's been so many people that come out with logical solutions. And they've been, you know, they've been swept under the carpet, and we continue to suffer and die. But, you know, you know, simply by hiding the damn truth. But thanks to the internet, hiding the truth today is not quite so easy to do. And I know in the near future, the mainstream media, they've got to start covering this in a big way. But I don't even care if I do anything on the mainstream media. As far as I'm concerned, mainstream media is really just as bad as the doctors or the politicians. I mean, they've been hiding the truth, too. So why would I want to play ball with that bunch? You know, the way I look at it, I mean, doing shows like this and, you know, with Max Egan and other people, you know, James Martinez, so many people that I've worked with, Vinnie Eastwood, you know, we get the message out, and that message has traveled far enough now that it's reached vast numbers. So as far as, to me, in my mind, I don't even need the mainstream media. And actually, I mean, I won't make any bones about it. I'm out to destroy them. I want them gone. You know, if we're going to have a mainstream media, they better start damn well telling the truth. And because that's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear a bunch of gobbledygook and, you know, nonsense just to keep you distracted all the time. No, give me the facts. That's what I want. And that's the job the mainstream media is supposed to be doing. But they haven't done that for decades. So whose fault is that?
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. We ask, whose fault is it? Is it our fault? Is it our fault, Rick? You know, because we look back at what my granddad, my term that he taught me for a doctor was a quack. Mm-hmm. Right? They knew. They knew they were just poisoning. They were mad. They were quacks.
Yeah.
They were mad as ducks.
Well, all through history, they knew it. Well, that thing about getting doctors to wash their hands, you know, simple hygiene around a hospital. And they had a hell of a time just shoving that down the medical profession's throat. But then when they switched straight over with all the chemical medicines and poisons and chemos and radiation, I mean, where the hell did they think they were going with this? You know, I mean, they got away with it for a very long time just because the public really had no way of becoming informed until the internet, you know, reared its head. But and this is the reason I say I give the internet full credit, because without this internet, I don't know. I mean, what I was doing would have spread in time. It would have spread all over the world, but it might have taken hundreds of years. But the internet has sped that up substantially. So I'm very grateful to the internet for, you know, just allowing us a venue that we can get the information out. And, you know, it's like I said, it's spread so far now that there's no going back. The mainstream media will have to cover it. And when they do, they're going to have to start admitting, you know, that they have been hiding this. They've been going along from, you know, their editors and things like that won't write the articles. Well, it's these people, you know, that like who are in control of what the paper contains. They're the ones that are at fault. And of course, the ones, the higher ups above them, because they're the ones that want it this way. But damn it, I mean, you know, we pick up a newspaper, it's supposed to be the news. But instead, we get all of this mumbo-jumbo, and it makes no damn sense. You know, I mean, I can sit there, and I can turn on the TV news and literally sit there and laugh at it. Because almost everything they're telling you, if you take it and just reverse it, that's the real truth. You know, but they'll keep feeding the public all of this nonsense. And most people are just so brainwashed now, they just kind of sit there and accept it. But I'm not one of them. And there's a whole bunch more of us that aren't in that category anymore either. So, I'm just going to say, we need the awakening.
Hey, and we've got just the man for the job here in the Dark City. We've got still got our Barry Prince. And we've got like 8 minutes left of the show, Barry. Come on, get on here. Tell people, give them ideas. What can they do? What have you been up to? What are you planning on doing? Little ideas that people can get out and spread this word and get it going viral. Come on, you know, Barry, you're our soldier. Yeah. You're our trooper.
Come on, now you're putting me a lot of pressure on me here, man. Holy shit. Anyways, what I talked about earlier, okay, I highlighted a few things that are really, really simple to do in your community. And the impact of those very simple things that you do in your community can be far-reaching. Just like I said, we have a daily online here, and I know that talking to the editor here, he says most communities in North America have these now, and they're free classified. So you go in there, and you post on their events calendar that there is this information out there, and get people to look at it, because there is a ton of people still walking around in the dark. I talk to people all the time, like I said, and they go, I've never heard of that before. Why isn't it on TV? Oh, duh. You know, I mean, they don't understand that mainstream is quashing it as much as they can. But Rick said the right thing. It's going to take the people demanding from the governments and demanding from their politicians accountability on the fiber and the facts behind this plant and what it can do. And they're just brushing it under the rug. But once the people really get a hold of this and start running with it, they're not going to be able to stop it. So those are really simple ways that you can do it. You can talk to your friends. You can talk to your neighbors. One more quick example. I was out to a yard sale the other day. It was put on by the Cancer Foundation in Terrace here. And a bunch of little old ladies, right? And of course, I'm a yard saler. And I started talking for a few minutes. And you know what? These ladies that are in the Cancer Foundation, three or four of them have never been heard of this before. And I'm going like, how can you be in a cancer foundation with the reports released by other cancer foundations and not be aware of it? I shook my head. So I sent them, I gave them a few links to go to, and maybe I can get them on board here and open their eyes a little bit. But it's real simple things you can do, guys. And it just takes a little bit of effort. It doesn't take a lot of time. You just have to put your heart into it. And what Rick is doing is I feel, one of the most important things we can do on this planet right now, because everything he touched about, toxicity, everyone being attacked everywhere we look. And this here could revolutionize the planet in hundreds of ways and take the power away from the people and put it back in the hands of its people. And that's where it belongs. So those are my thoughts, Rick. I'll close off with that. And I love talking to you, buddy. And you are a trooper. And I'll tell you, I am going to make it a point of getting this concert going, and we'll get thousands of people out to it. And I'm going to fly you out here, bud. The time has come.
How old a man are you, Barry?
58. I was at Woodstock, buddy.
Oh, really? You're an old geezer like me.
My parents let go when I was 14, and if they had known about all the naked girls running around, I'm sure they wouldn't have let me go, man. It was an eye-opening experience. I was like as green can be, man.
Anyway, well, brother, I'm telling you one thing. You'd make one hell of a prime minister. And, you know, let's replace Stephen Harper with Barry Prince. I think it would be a good idea.
I don't even want to go there, buddy, because you just get my blood pressure boiling. I'm watching what the bastard's doing, and excuse my language. If people can't see it, then they're blind, man. It's just like everything else. If you folks can't see it, you're blind. And you know what? It is our responsibility as adults on this planet to address these issues, and it's our responsibility to look at this info and take it to heart, because we have a generation coming up, and we've got to look at the legacy we've left this fucking planet. It's a mess, and this is something that we can all do to change it. So grab it by the horns and go with it. Don't sit on your ass. Excuse me.
I agree wholeheartedly, brother. And thanks for calling in today, Barry. I always enjoy our conversation.
You'll be hearing from me again, brother. You know it.
That's great. But, I mean, that's the world we live in, and it truly isn't a mess these days, but we can change it. It really is within our power, and it's something very easy. You know, once we start, you know, non-compliance, we're not playing your damn game anymore. We're not paying these outrageous gas prices and all the rest of these things they're doing to us. You know, and there's so many different, just simple little things that we can do that, you know, that, well, I mean, if we don't comply with what they want, then their system doesn't work anymore. And I think that's the way it should be. I heard the other day out west there was some Mounties that tried to stop a biker gang. And, you know, of course, that's not the easiest thing to do sometimes, but I guess the Mounties flagged them over. And the guys on the bikes, there was 50 or 60 of them, and they just looked at the Mounties and said, go to hell. And they just started the bikes, and away they went. And the Mounties didn't chase them. You know, I don't believe in any of the stuff we see in Canada today, all these road checks. You know, somebody's going down the highway, weaving all over the road, fine, pull them over. But all these check stops and things, you know, that should tell people right there, they're not living in freedom. They are living in a police state. And it's really up to the people of Canada now to change it. But with people like Barry around, I think it'll change pretty rapidly. And, you know, the following we have in the UK now, where so many people are becoming aware of this, I think that's wonderful. And it's time for merry old England to become a better place. And if we have cannabis, it will be a better place. And, you know, like, let's just get together and sit down and look at things for what they really are. You know, how much has royalty helped us? Well, I've never seen any help that they've given us in any way, shape, or form. And it's the same damn thing with our governments and the rest of these big money people. So I think it's like I said, it's stopped. We just have to stop playing their tune. And this will all come to an end, and we will have a better world. And it's right at our fingertips. All we got to do is get together and do it. And I know we can change everything. And, I mean, like I said, I want to see humanity evolve into something better than we have been in the past. And if we can get together and do this, then certainly that'll prove to me that we are evolving and we are becoming something better. And, I guess that's the goal of us all. And I just hope that it comes to pass as quickly as possible. How much time do we have left, Lee?
We're on the last minute now, Rick. Of course,
we're on the last minute. Okay. Yeah. So, well, I'm urging everyone out there, please get together, stand up, you know, listen to some of the ideas like Barry just provided us with. And, you know, there's so many ways that we can all get together and we can stop this. And it really is our duty. I mean, all you have to do is look at your children. Do you want to see them have a future? Or do you want to see them grow to be 30 years old and wind up with cancer and die a horrible death? You know, it is within our power to stop this. So, for God's sakes, get together. Let's do it for our children, and let's do it for this planet. And thank you very much.
This is a public health announcement. Cannabis cures cancer.